أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ومن يوت الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We have been talking about the آثار of the معرفة، آثار الشناخت. That means the impacts of the in-depth recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ma'rifat, and in-depth recognition of the Imam of our time. And tonight is the turn to talk about the concept of ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt, which is considered to be one of the greatest values and one of the most unique teachings of Islam, is, according to what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafazahullah was saying in his tafsir, that ziyarat is the most effective, most mu'assir, most effective thing to bring about ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of the Imam of your time. So there is no other means, wasila, there is no other means through which you can get the ma'rifat of the Imam of your time which is more effective than the concept of ziyarah. So now you can understand how important it is in the eyes of Allah, as we are discussing in these nights the asar and impacts of the ma'rifat. And ma'rifat of the Imam is widely narrated by the Sunni brothers and the Shias alike in their books. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, has mentioned this riwayah from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this is muttafaqun alayha. This is something which is a matter of consensus among all the sects, that Prophet has said, man mata wa lam ya'rif imama zamanihi mata mitatan jahiliyya. Whoever dies and doesn't have the ma'rifat shanakht, like we say in Farsi, and in-depth recognition of the Imam of his time, he dies a death of jahiliyyat. And we all know that the time of jahiliyyat refers to the time before the Holy Prophet, And in those days, people were nothing but kafir and mushrik. So what the Holy Prophet, what we learn in the light of the hadith of the Prophet is that if I die without the in-depth recognition and ma'rifat of the Imam of my time, I am not going to die away from this world as a mu'min and believer and a Muslim. Instead, I will die as a non-Muslim, belonging to Jahiliyyat. So, مَا أَدْنَى مَا يَكُونُ بِهِ الرَّجُلُ ضَالًا. Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, أَدْنَى مَا يَكُونُ بِهِ الرَّجُلُ ضَالًا أَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ. The bare minimum, the minimum with which a person can be classified as ضال means misguided. What's the minimum a person needs to do? If he does that much, in Islamic dictionary, we call him misguided person, gumrah, like we say in Farsi, dal. So having dalalat. So we have two words in Arabic language, al-dalala and al-ghawaya. The two words in Arabic. So dalala in Arabic means somebody who doesn't know, you know, that what's the path to tread towards Allah. In Arabic, we call him Baal. He is misguided about the path. He doesn't know what path he needs to tread and walk towards Allah to get the success. And Al-Ghawaya in Arabic, and the person who has it is called Al-Ghay. Ghawaya in Arabic means the person who doesn't know the hadaf and the goal that we are pursuing in our life. Why in the world Allah created me and you? There's a goal and hadaf that we are pursuing in our life. You know, so our life is supposed to be led in a way that we are pursuing towards a well-defined you know, goal. And as long as we reach that goal, obviously we are now, you know, guided in the real sense of the word. So a guided person is the one who is void of dalalat and void of ghawaya. He doesn't have, he did not miss out on the path, and he didn't miss out on the hadaf of the life. So Amir Mumin alayhi salam says that ma, you know, adna ma yakunu bihi ar-rajul dallan an la ya'rifa hujjat Allah. The minimum, the least, what a person, what it takes for a person to become misguided is that he doesn't know the hujjat of Allah. So whatever, in whatever imams, see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful, He doesn't leave the universe without a guide on Allah's behalf, who's Allah's rep. He is representing Allah. He is reflecting all the attributes and all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person is the Khalifa and the Imam. Not just that, that the earth cannot survive without a hujjat of Allah on earth, the universe cannot survive without a hujjat of Allah on earth. But not only that, but look at the mercy of Allah, that Allah created the first creature of His. Allah made sure that the first creature He creates is no one else other than the hujjat of Allah. And the last creature that survives is no one else but the hujjat of Allah. لَوْلَا الْحُجَّةِ لَسَخَّتِ الْأَرْضُ بِأَهْلِهَا. If hujjat is not there, the earth will be devastated with all its dwellers. Can you imagine the importance of the hujjat of Allah? The Imam, the Wali and the Mawla. You know, that's why we call our Imams, our 12 Imams, our Ahlul Bayt al-Amsam, they are all wasatatul fayd. That means the blessings of Allah come through them to the universe. So they are the link between the Alamul Shuhud and Alamul Ghaib, between the seeable and the unseeable world, between the Alamul Malakut and Alamul Jabarut. Wasatatul Fayd. Low, you know, we say that Assalamu alayka ayyuha sababul muttasil bayna al-ard wa s-sama. That's how we say salam to Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. My salam to you, O you who is the link between the heaven and earth. So because of the Imam, the heaven and the earth and the link and every existence of the universe is surviving because he's there. If he's removed, the universe would shatter and be devastated in a fraction of a second, momentarily, immediately. There's no purpose for Allah to create anyone else or anything else if the Hujjat is not there, who is reflecting Allah in his fullest. I am not reflecting, you are not reflecting, none of the prophets of God are reflecting Allah in their fullest. Hazrat Isa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam was the madhar and reflection of only two names of Allah. Period. Can you imagine? Who can parallel the Ahlul Bayt? Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was the madhar and reflection of only two names of Allah. That's it. And because of those two names, he used to make the dead alive bi-iznillah, with the permission of Allah. He used to, you know, give cure to the abras and akmah, those who were suffering from leprosy. Right? Because he was the madhar and reflection of only two names of Allah among the Ismul A'zam. Whereas other Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are so high that they reflect Allah in every single name and every single attribute. Sifatul Jalali wa Sifatul Jamal. The attributes of majesty and the attributes of beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why La Yuqasu, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, La Yuqasu bi Ali Muhammadin ahadun min al-khalq. None of the creatures can be compared to Ali Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. Wala yusawwa bihim man jarat ni'matuhum alayhi abada. And anyone upon whom the ni'mat and the blessing of Allah coming through the Ahlul Bayt is reaching, anyone towards whom the blessing of Ahlul Bayt is reaching to him, through the Ahlul Bayt the blessing is reaching to him, this person or this thing cannot be compared towards the Ahlul Bayt. If the Ahlul Bayt were not there to provide the blessing, you would have been devastated. Who are you? What are you? What's your status? So isn't that a shame for a human being, that even our very survival on the earth, our life, every breath that we take for our living is dependent on the ni'mat of Allah that we are receiving through Imam of our time, Sahib al-Zaman, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. And we don't know about him, we don't have any ma'rifat about him, and we don't remember the Imam of our time and don't perform our fara'iz and duties towards the Imam. Not knowing is not the point. Not having the ma'rifat. Knowing is not a big deal. Everybody knows about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Even the kuffar know. Even Mutawakkil al-Abbasi la'anatullahi alayhi. Even those of the Banu Abbas la'anatullahi alayhim who were sending spies, women spies, into the house of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam to find out whether Hadrat Narjis Khatun is pregnant with Imam Mahdi or not. So even Mutawakkil al-Abbasi knew about ilm. Knowledge, knowing. As far as the knowing goes, even he knew about it. So if any Shia is proud that I know about the Imam, that's not a big deal. You can go to Google and you can find so much. And they're right about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Knowing is not a big deal. There is no success in Islam. Nowhere in Islam you can find success guaranteed on ilm and knowledge. Success in Islam is guaranteed on taqwa. Al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. You never find al-aqibatu lil-alimeen or lil-ulama. There is no guarantee on only the knowledge. Until you practice the knowledge, ilm ma'al amal. Knowledge with the practice, providing the nur of ma'rifat from Allah drop into the qalb and the heart of a person. And this nur of ma'rifat is the guarantee you will have, this, you will sustain the taqwa of Allah in your qalb, in your heart. And this taqwa guarantees your entry into the paradise. Peace say salawat. العاقبة للمتقين العاقبة ليست العاقبة للعالمين. Otherwise, you find even so many kuffar are writing books about Imam alayhi salam, right? They're doing their own research papers. So many of the kuffar yesterday and so many of the munafiqeen and zanadiq were doing their researches, they're doing their efforts against the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Because knowing is not a point. We're not talking about knowing Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Everybody knows. We're talking about ma'rifat, in-depth recognition, not knowing. So, it's important to keep in our mind that what we were discussing is that ziyarat is the most effective, according to my teacher, is the most effective way of acquiring and achieving the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of the Imam. And when Zurara comes to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, look at this dua that Imam has taught to his one of the closest companions, Zurara ibn A'yan. Isn't that right? Zurara is one of the greatest companions of Imam al-Sadiq and Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam both. And is considered to be part of As-Sabiqoon. As-Sabiqoon, ulaika al-muqarrabun. Zurara is part of Sabiqeen. Such a great person. He was a faqih. He was a mujtahid. So one of the greatest and closest companions of Imam alayhi salam, and the dua that Imam teaches to Zurara is that Allahumma arifni nafsaka fa innaka illam tu'arifni nafsaka lam a'rif nabiyyaka. Look at the chain, the interdependent chain. One thing depends on the other, another thing depends on the other. A depends on B and B depends on C. So Allahumma arifni nafsaka, O my Lord, give me the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of yours. فَإِنَّكَ, because if you لَمْ تُعَرِّفْنِي نَفْسَكَ, did not provide to me your ma'rifat, your in-depth recognition, what is going to happen is that at the end of the day, لَمْ أَعْرِفْ نَبِيَّكَ, I'm not going to recognize, I won't have the ma'rifat of your Prophet. What happens if I don't have the ma'rifat of Allah's Prophet? Allahumma arifni rasulaka fa innaka illam tu'arifni rasulaka lam a'rif hujjataka. Oh my Lord, give me the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of your messenger, because if you don't give me the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of your messenger, I will not have the ma'rifat of your hujjat, the imam of the time, in other words, the hujjat of Allah, one of the 12 imams after the Prophet. So what will happen if I don't have the Imam of the Hujjat, Imam and the Ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of the Imam and the Hujjat of my time? Allahumma arifni hujjataka fa innaka illam tu'arifni hujjataka dalaltu an deeni. I would be misguided, I will be off the track, I will be misguided from my religion. And nothing of religion would survive. So the whole religion, Islam, and the Iman and faith of the person is completely and totally dependent on the answer to the question whether or not you recognize you have the ma'rifat of the Imam of your time or not. First things first. Forget about your prayers and fasting. That's about Furuddin. We're not there yet. We're talking about Usuluddin. We didn't settle that. Imamat. We are discussing Imamat right now. That's part of the Usuluddin, the roots of the religion. First things first. So if you don't know the Imam of your time, even though you may be praying, even though you may be fasting, to find the masajid of the mosques of the Wahhabis are more decorated than our mosques. Isn't it right? Spending multi-million petrodollars to damage Islam. Isn't it right? The mosque is the place of dalalat and misguidance spread in the community. Their mosque is like this. Masajiduhum amiratun wa hiya kharabun min al-huda. This is how it is going to happen in the akhir zaman. Their masajid will be well constructed, but it will be void of hidayat and guidance. So let's not be, simple-minded to just consider nice-looking masjid to be enough. The real value of a masjid comes from the message which is delivered from that masjid or Husayniya. That's what gives the wazn and value in the eyes of Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So we find The beauty of this dua that Imam al-Baqir al-Islam has taught to Zurara ibn A'yan is that it has dalilun inni, burhanun inni. Barahin in our Islamic philosophy is divided into two categories, al-burhanul limmi and al-burhanul inni. So here in this dua, one of the beauties what our Urafa say, this dua is talking about and mentioning al-burhanul inni. So where you don't come from, going from a cause to the effect, this is what we call in philosophy as al-burhanul limmi. So going from the illat to the ma'lul. But this is not what Imam al-Baqir al-Islam is teaching in the dua. He's teaching the opposite. He's not going from the creatures towards Allah. He's coming from the Allah, the Creator first, and then going towards the creatures. So this is an opposite burhan that he's utilizing, which we call in philosophy as a burhanul inni. Then coming from the illat towards the ma'lul, not from the ma'lul towards the illat. Coming from the cause towards the effect. Not going from the effect to the cause. What is the effect? Effect cannot be considered parallel to the cause. So Imam al-Husayn al-Islam says in dua of Arafah that al-ghayrika min al-zuhur ma laysa laka hatta yakuna huwa al-muzhira laka. What dalil is there any zuhur and wujud for anyone other than you, that anything other than you can be a dalil and evidence to prove your existence? What is the status of anything else to be a means and tool, you know? Does it have any existence of its own? Everything has the existence given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? So let's come from Allah to the creatures. Let's come from the cause, from the illat, towards the ma'lul. From the cause to the effect. This is what we call al-burhanul inni. So Imam alayhi salam teaches the Zurara, let's come from Allah towards the Prophet. Prophet is wasatatul faith between Allah and the a'imma alayhim salam. Allamani addabani rabbi fa addabtu aliyan. Isn't it right? Prophet has said in the hadith, Allah taught me the adab fa addabtu aliyan. Then I taught Ali. Isn't it right? Ali alayhi salam is the babu ilmin nabi. He is the door of the knowledge of the Prophet. So Prophet and Nabi is the wasatatul faith, the means of the blessings of Allah coming through the Prophet towards the Imams. Zakkani Rasulullah zakkan zakka. Prophet had fed me, just like a bird feeds the baby. The Prophet had fed Imam Ali alayhi salam. Isn't that right? Allamani Rasulullah alfa babin. Isn't that right? A Prophet taught me 1,000 chapters. From each of those 1,000, another 1,000 were taken out. So Imam Prophet is the wasatatul fal for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So Imam Sadiq, Imam Baqir alayhi salam first mentions about Allah. Allahumma arifni nafsaka. Then goes towards the ma'lul, the effect of Allah. The first effect is the nur of the Holy Prophet. Awwala ma khalaqallahu nuri. We are talking about the ma'rifat of the Imam. How in the world we are supposed to get the ma'rifat. So we start from Allah, and then we go to the Holy Prophet, and then we go towards the Imam of the time. So the ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam says, that's what our Urafa say, that having the ma'rifat and shanakht of the Holy Prophet is masirun ghaybi, is haqiqatun ghaybiyya. Just like having the ma'rifat of the Imam is a masirun ghaybi and haqiqatun ghaybiyya. Is, you know, you need to have ta'yid from the unseeable world, assistance from the unseeable world, to be able to end up having the ma'rifat of the Imam or the Prophet. Without that ta'yid and assistance from the unseeable world, there is no way you can end up having the ma'rifat of the Imam. So this is the benefit that we get. Obviously it makes sense. It makes sense. Just like ma'rifat of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really not possible in its entire sense of the word. Completely, no one can have the ma'rifat of Allah. لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفتن. Like Amir Mumin alayhi salam says in khutbah number 1 of Nahj al-Balagha, Isn't it right? La yudrikuhu bu'dul himam. That means the niyats and the afkar and the thoughts of the people cannot reach Allah, cannot comprehend Allah, cannot comprehend Him. وَلَا يَنَالُهُ غَوْصُ الْفِتَانِ. Nor diving into, you know, no matter how much intelligent or genius you may be, the best of utilizing the best of your genius towards reaching Allah is not going to take you to Allah. So obviously it requires Allah's ta'eed and assistance, so we can understand. So same is the case, because Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are the madhar and the most perfect reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same applies for them. That requires divine assistance and ta'eed, and that divine assistance to have the ma'rifat and recognition of the Prophet and Imam comes through the ziyarat. Please say salawat. So this is a really a sad and sorrowful situation. The Islamic Ummah, after the Holy Prophet, tried to appoint their own ruler and successor to the Prophet on their own. Isn't that right? So we find that the father of Hazrat Abu Bakr sent a letter. Hazrat Abu Bakr had sent a letter to his father, Abi Quhafa, that people have elected me as the Khalifa, so I am the Khalifa of Rasulullah. So you come and do my bayat, oath of allegiance. And the first reaction of his father when he gets the letter from this person, for sending from Hazrat Abu Bakr towards him, this person brings the letter. The first reaction of the father of Hazrat Abu Bakr, what he says, people did zulm towards Ali. First reaction, first remark that he said, people did zulm towards Ali. Then he says, go and say to my son that your letter is full of tawad and tanaqud, of contradictions. Your letter is full of contradictions. Because you say that people elected me as the Khalifa, so I am the Khalifa of Rasulullah. If you are elected by the people, you are the representative of the people, not Allah. And if you are the Khalifa of Allah, you don't need the people to represent, to elect you, because Allah has already selected you. What a logical statement. What a logical statement coming from his own father. First of all, in Islam, we don't have no elections. And then right when it comes to leadership, you can elect a parliament, a president, senate, and, you know, speaker of the parliament, you name it. But when it comes to leadership, there's zero elections in Islam. That's why the West calls us, well, our Islamic government, they call it as theocracy. Well, it is a theocracy. But then we say to the West, what's your problem? Because it's a democratic theocracy. Isn't it right? That's what the people who believe they have Iman in Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that's the kind of government Islam talks about. So it's a democratic theocracy. What's your problem? That's what the people believe in. When majority of the people are voting for that form of government according to their Iman, then what's your problem? Isn't it right? There is no election in Islam when it comes to leadership. We must be very clear. If you elect a leader, then it's your leader. It's not the representative of Allah. Allah never leave the universe without his hujjat. Right? We say to our Sunni brothers, how can it be possible that a Prophet, when he was departing the city of Medina for 3 days, he would appoint someone, he would announce someone to be his na'ib, serving in his proxy for just 3 days. And Prophet is departing for good for the rest of his life. Why wouldn't he announce somebody? Isn't it right? Prophet Musa is departing, is going to Mount Tur to talk to Allah and the munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, the Quran says, Ukhlufni fi amri. Isn't it right? He's asking his brother and his wasi and Khalifa Harun alayhi salam to be his Khalifa, because Allah has appointed him to be the Khalifa, in other words. You know, that according to our teachings. So, ukhlufni. So Allah appoints the ruler, not the people.
This is Islam. That's the way Islam is. You don't want to accept it. That's the way Islam is. You cannot reinvent the wheel. You don't like it, that's your choice. But Islam is the way it is. We're not Yahud and Nasara to change the teachings of Islam just because we don't like it. Islam is not left up to the likeness or dislikeness of peoples. Isn't it right? Whether you believe in it, you like it, you dislike it, that's your choice. But that's the way it is. Imam Ridha alayhi salam, when he was, please say salawat. When he was forced by Mamun Rashid, la'natullahi alayh, to be transferred to the city of Marv, which is right now located in Turkmenistan. That was the capital of the government of Mamun Rashid in those days. So he forced Imam Ridha alayhi salam to be transferred from his watan, his hometown of Medina, to the city of Marv. And when he reached to Al-Masjid Al-Jami', the Jami' mosque of the city of Marv, that's where Fa'adal, the riwayat says, Musnad al-Imam al-Ridha, narrated in the famous book, Musnad of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. The riwayat says, فَأَدَارُوا أَمْرَ الْخِلَافَةِ وَالْوَلَايَ وَالْإِمَامَةِ. So people started the discussion of Khilafat and Imamat in front of the Imam. So look at what Imam Ridha alayhi salam says about Khilafat. He says, هَلْ تَعْرِفُونَ قَدْرَ الْإِمَامَةِ وَمَحَلَّهَا مِنَ الْأُمَّةِ فَيَجُوزَ فِيهَا اِخْتِيَارُهُمْ. Do you know and recognize the manzilat, the mahal, the maqam, the status of imam towards the ummah, so it would be okay for you to choose somebody? Do you even know what is the status of the imam? See, if you're choosing somebody, you first know what is the role that somebody is supposed to play in Islam. You don't even have the marifat of the imam. When you don't know and don't recognize, then you're totally ineligible to choose somebody for that job. And you know, وَهُوَ بِحَيْثُ النَّجْمِ مِنْ أَيْدِ الْمُتَنَاوِلِينَ وَوَصْفِ الْوَاصِفِينَ فَأَيْنَ الْإِخْتِيَارُ مِنْ هَذَا وَأَيْنَ الْعُقُولُ عَنْ هَذَا. Imam is like a star. هُوَ بِحَيْثُ النَّجْمِ. Imam of the time is like a star. مِنْ أَيْدِ الْمُتَنَاوِلِينَ. Towards the hands of the people who try to reach him, nobody can reach the star, isn't it right? That's too high. Look at the example Imam gives. وَوَصْفِ الْوَاصِفِينَ. And people who try to describe the Imam, we are unable to describe. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَنِي مِنْ ذَاتِهِ وَأَنَا غَيْرُ مُنْفَصِلٍ عَنْهُ. Allah created me from the Zat and His essence. Who can understand the mahal and the status of the Imam who is created from the Zat, Noor of the Zat and essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَأَنَا غَيْرُ مُنْفَصِلٍ عَنْهُ. And I'm not disconnected from him. And I'm not disconnected from Allah. And then he furnishes the dalil and evidence. Is نُورُ الشَّمْسِ غَيْرُ مُنْفَصِلٍ عَنْهَا. Because the Noor of the sun is not disconnected from the sun. The sun ray is not disconnected from the sun. What a beautiful example. The sun ray is never disconnected. If you disconnect it, it is no longer going to remain a ray of the sun. Isn't it right? It will be gone. Sun ray is never disconnected from the sun. So likewise, this is the status of the imam that we are talking about. So this is what we must understand, that this is kind of Allah in al imamata khassa Allahu azza wa jalla biha Ibrahim al Khalil بعد النبوة والخلة مرتبة ثالثة. Imam Ridha alayhi salam says imamat is something that is a thing, in other words, that Allah especially provided for Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam after making him the Nabi, the Prophet, and after making him the Khalil, the friend, martabatan salisatan, and third stage. That means this is the higher third stage that he has to cross to those two stages. First he was made as the Prophet, then Prophet Ibrahim was made as a Khalilullah, the friend of God. Not every Prophet was a friend. He is the only Prophet who was made as the Khalil of Allah, friend of God. Prophet Ibrahim is the second most superior Prophet of Allah after our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are talking about the ma'rifat of the hujjat of the time, so you understand what kind of personalities we are discussing about. What is their highness and azamat? We need to have a glimpse of their highness. So, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was made, in Allah ittakhadha Ibrahima nabiyyan qabla an yattakhidhahu khaleelan. Allah chose him to be, chose Prophet Ibrahim to be a prophet before he chose him as a friend. وَاتَّخَذَهُ خَلِيلًا قَبْلَ أَن يَتَّخِذَهُ إِمَامًا. And Allah chose him a friend before choosing him to be an imam. That's the reason why we believe that the mansab and position of imamat and walayat in Islam is afdal and superior than the mansab and position of risalat and nubuwat in Islam. And that's why we believe, one of the reasons why we believe, that all our 12 Imams are afdal and superior than all the Prophets of God except the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam al-Muslimin and the Wali of the Muslimin and the Mawla of the Muslimin is afdal than all the Anbiya. Isn't it right? So that's how we find this is a status. Prophet says, Adamu waman dunahu tahta liwa'i. Adam and everyone other than him are under my banner. Look at the greatness and wus'at and the expansion and how expanded, how much encompassing the banner and the flag of the Prophet is. How wide it covers. You know, the coverage of the flag of Rasulullah is unthinkable for us. Where every existence, not only the humans and the jinns, not only the saqalain, every existence of the universe comes under the banner of Rasulullah. Adam wa man dunahu tahta liwa'i. They are under his command. He's the commander in chief of the universe appointed by Allah. So Adam and everyone that came after him, all the prophets and their deputies and the shuhada and siddiqeen and salihin and mu'mineen, what to talk about the kuffar and munafiqeen who have no value in the eyes of Allah. Isn't it right? So everyone comes under the liwa and banner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the risalatun mutlaqa. This is the absolute risalat that Prophet enjoys, that none of the previous prophets of God had every existence under their command. That's why when see what Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, Kuntu, when Prophet says, Kuntu nabiyyan wa adamu bayna al-ma'i wa at-teen. I was a prophet when Adam was between the water and the clay. And Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, Kuntu wasiyyan wa adamu bayna al-ma'i wa at-teen. I was the deputy, the wasi, that means the deputy of Rasulullah, when Adam was between water and the clay. So who can understand the risalat of Rasulullah? And likewise, who can understand the khilafat and imamat and walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen? Unthinkable. Let's have a glimpse of the highness. So Imam Ali al-Islam has said, Kuntu ma'al anbiya'i sirran wa ma'a Rasulillahi jahran. I was with the prophets of God hiddenly. That means for every single prophet of God is under the command of Imam Ali al-Salam, and Imam Ali is the one who is helping out and assisting the prophets of God. Who was assisting, you know, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam when he was in the stomach of the fish? Who was assisting Hazrat Shu'aib alayhi salam and Hazrat Ya'qub alayhi salam and Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam and Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and you name all the prophets and Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam? Who was assisting? Other than Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Kuntu ma'a al-anbiya'i sirran wa ma'a Rasulillahi jahran. I was with the prophets of God hiddenly and with Rasulullah openly. Now you understand the azamat and how expanded is the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So that's why in Arabic we say, Mawla al-Kainat wa Sabitat. He is the Mawla and Master and Hakim and ruler of all the existences in the universe. Not only humans and jinns. All the existences of the universe are under his command. Can you bring somebody who is like this?
We would love to accept him as our imam if we can find anyone else other than the 12 imams who have this kind of control and power of doing mu'jiza and miracle in the entire universe. If you can bring somebody like him with these attributes, we would love to accept him as our imam. But there is nobody other than the 12 imams. Please say salawat. Now coming to the benefits, as we are talking about the benefits of the ziyarat, because my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafadahullah had said that this is the most mu'assir, most effective way, ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt, going to the qubur, the graves, or doing the ziyarat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt is the most mu'assir and effective way of having acquiring the ma'rifat and shanaht and in-depth recognition of the masoom. So it carries a lot of weight. So the benefits. Our Urafa have mentioned two benefits. There are so many benefits, but the most important ones, the most important two benefits of the ziyarat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Benefit number one is ma'iyyat. Because you, when you go for the ziyarat, when you perform the ziyarat of Rasulullah or the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, you go and do the pilgrimage and visitation towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, this provides you the opportunity to be categorized as a person who is having ma'iyyat with Ahlul Bayt, who is walking alongside with the Ahlul Bayt. Now you are at the side of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Now you are counted to be with them. Being counted as with them carries a lot of weight. We work hard to be with the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Isn't it right? So ma'iyyat carries a lot of weight. What's the benefit of becoming with them? The benefit of becoming with them in this dunya is that you will be with them in the barzakh, and you will be with them in the Day of Judgment. That's the benefit. And if you fail, if a person fails to be having ma'iyyat with Ahlul Bayt, a person fails to be with the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in this life, then he can never ever be with the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt in the barzakh, and he would never ever be with the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt on the Day of Resurrection. So now you understand the benefit of ma'iyyat. Ziyarat provides this benefit. That's the benefit number one. That's what our urafa say, إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ عَلَى وَزْنِ الْحَيَاةِ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ عَلَى وَزْنِ الْحَيَاةِ فَكَمَا تَعِيشُونَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُبْعَثُونَ. Beautiful, beautiful statement. Your life is on the status of your death is on the status of your life. You want to know what would be your status at the time of death? Because that's what counts. It doesn't count, brothers and sisters, which family you were born to. You're born to a Shia family, or a Sunni family, or a Wahhabi family, or a non-Muslim family. That's not important. What is important is our status at the time of death. Salman al-Farsi rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi was not born to Muslim family. His father and mother, his family was not a Muslim. But he can reach that high. The Prophet says, Salman minna ahl al-bayt. We call him Salman al-Muhammadi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why we pray to Allah, Allahumma ja'al awaqiba umurina khaira. Oh my Lord, make the end of my life on khair and goodness. What matters is the aqibatul umur, end of life. Aqibatul hayat, end of life. Not where you were born. There are so many people who switch sides. In the akhir zaman, yusbihu mu'minan wa yumsi kafiran. There will be people switching sides. He was a mu'min in the time of, in the morning, he dawned as a mu'min. By the time the evening arrives, the guy will turn into a kafir. People will be switching sides. So much they love dunya and material benefits of this world. They are selling faith and their values. Right?
يُصْبَحُ كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا. That's also true. There will be people in Akhir al-Zaman who will be kafir, disbelievers in the morning, and by the time evening arrives, they will end up becoming a mu'min. So it doesn't matter what were you in the past or at the time of your birth. What matters is what are you at the time of your death. This is what is counted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once there's a story one of the teachers was telling, that this person was dying and he used to light something of his life, of a clock, very much. He had a clock in his room. He used to love it so much. Sometimes we get attached. We get attached, hubbud dunya. We get attached to the material things of our dunya. Now he was on the deathbed, and shaitan came in front of him, and people are surrounding, right? We have ahkam al-muhtadar, alam al-ihtidar. When a person is in the final moments of his life, and his soul is about to be taken away, we have ahkam and rulings in our shark. So you need to remind the person about the names of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, about the kalima. He repeats the kalima over and over again. Isn't it right? Names of Ahlul Bayt over and over again. Read the Surat Yaseen next to him. Read Surat As-Safat next to him. Isn't it right? We have a whole bunch of ahkam. If a person is still finding it really hard to die, he's in extreme pain, the teachings of Islam say, bring the musalla, bring the prayer rug that he used to pray on, and put the musalla, the prayer rug, under him, and inshallah his soul will depart the body easily because of that musalla. We have a whole bunch of rulings. You need to straighten the legs of the person towards the Qibla. Isn't it right? There's a wajib on those who are surrounding the person who is dying. There is wajib on you to straighten his legs towards the Qibla. We are supposed to sleep anyway like this. Isn't it right? In Islam, it's mustahab. Every night of our life, we sleep by facing our legs towards the Qibla. When you stand up, when you wake up, when you sit, your face is towards the Kaaba. Please say salawat. So, and this person is called Muhtadir, the person who is in the final moments of his life, about to die. We call him Muhtadir. You know, we have ahkam for the Muhtadir. Now this person was dying, and people are surrounding him, friends or family members asking him to say kalima, you know, say the names of the Prophet and the Imams, and he's not speaking, you know, saying it. And after a while, Allah gave him shifa, he did not die. Somebody asked him, what happened to you? We were there, we were asking you to say the kalima, you know, and you were not saying the kalima. What happened to you? He said, well, when I was there on the bed, shaitan came in front of me, and he picked up that clock which I loved so much. He said, if you say the kalima, I'm going to break it, throw it on the ground and break this clock. Now, how much we get attached to the material things, and anything with which we get attached becomes an obstacle in the way of our iman. Please say salawat. So what I was saying to you is that the first benefit is that ma'iyyat. We get along with the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. If you go for their ziyarat, if you do the ziyarat, you will be now ma'ahum. You will be counted to be with them. And when we are with them in this world, then we will be with them at the time of death. Because Urafa has already said, you know, kama ta'ishuna tamutun. You will die in the same status the way you used to live. So if you used to live with the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt, you will be dying with them. And how would we be resurrected on the Day of Judgment? وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُبْعَسُونَ. And you will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in the same status the way you died. So, it's very simple to understand. What would be my status at the time of death? Or am I with the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt? They have their policies of life. Mawaqif. Isn't it right? Am I following the policies of Imam Ali alayhi salam? What was his policy towards the munafiqeen? What was the mawqif and policy of Imam Ali towards the kuffar? What was the mawqif and policy of Imam Ali alayhi salam towards khawarij? Am I following the same policy in my life? What is the mawqif and policy of Imam Ali al-Islam towards mushrikeen? Am I following the same policy? If I am, then I am with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, because I am following his policies. Isn't it right? So, Prophet gave the Surah al-Bara'at to Abu Bakr, and then when Allah sent the ayat of Holy Quran, Prophet took the Surah al-Bara'at, which we call Surah al-Tawbah also. Doesn't have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the beginning. Prophet took the Surah al-Bara'at back from Abu Bakr and gave it to Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhum as-salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And upon the hukum of Allah and the sunnat of Rasulullah, Amir al-Mu'mineen recited the Surah al-Bara'at. Bara'atum min Allahi wa Rasulihi. Isn't it right? Surah al-Bara'at, that starts from the Bara'at concept. We are disassociating ourselves. Allah and His Messenger is disassociating themselves from the mushrikeen. That's the standard official policy and mawqif of Allah and His Messenger and the Ahlul Bayt. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, upon the hukum of Allah and the sunnat of the Holy Prophet, he recited the ayat of Surah Al-Bara'at on the occasion of Hajj in front of the mushrikeen of his time. Isn't that right? This is what Imam Al-Khumayni Ridwanullah alayhi said, that biduna bara'at hajj ma hajj nis. Without doing the bara'at from mushrikeen, our Hajj is not counted to be Hajj. This is not the Hajjun Ibrahimi that we were commanded by Allah to do, the Hajj in the form of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, who said to the tawaghit of those days, towards Uffin lakum wa lima ta'buduna min dunillah. This is the bara'at that he did towards the mushrikeen of his time. This is the sunnat of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is the sunnat of Allah. This is the sunnat of Rasulullah. So you don't believe in walayat al-faqih, you believe in walayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib or not? This is the sunnat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that he recited Surah al-Bara'at in front of mushrikeen. That's why we respect the walayat of faqih. Because it's Imam al-Khumayni who made the sunnat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alive that we have killed. Right? So we were silent, we were going for Hajj and not doing the bara'at of mushrikeen. Isn't that a shame for Islamic Ummah? Whereas the Holy Quran has already said, after Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam constructed the Holy Kaaba, Allah said to Prophet Ibrahim, أَزِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرْ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Announce among the people about the Hajj. Allah commanded Prophet Ibrahim to announce among the people about the Hajj. And our scholars say, Prophet Ibrahim did his nida, he announced. Our souls, arwahul mu'mineen, the souls of the people responded. Some of the scholars have mentioned in tafsir that if our souls have responded once, we are, when we get born in this world, we are going to have the tawfiq from Allah to go for Hajj once, because our soul responded only once. If our souls responded twice to the call and nida of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, we will have the tawfiq from Allah to go for Hajj twice, because that's what our soul responded only twice. If you responded 10 times to the nida of Prophet Ibrahim, and he said nida of a ma'soom prophet, that's not an ordinary thing. It's a very big thing. So, azzim fil nasi bil hajj ya'tuka rijalan. And my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafidhahullah was saying in tafsir of this ayat of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say in the ayat of Quran, azzim fil nasi bil hajj ya'tuha. Announce among the people about the Hajj so that the people can come towards the Kaaba. This is not what Allah said. This is not what Allah said. Allah said, Ya'tuka to Ibrahim. So our fariza on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to visit the Imam al-Muslimin and the Imam of the time, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, khassa Allahu biha, azza wa jal, Ibrahim alayhi salam, ba'da al-nubuwati wal-khulla martabatan salisatan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him Imam after making him Nabi and the Khalil. The highest level that was awarded by Allah to Prophet Ibrahim was being the Imamul Muslimin. And this status was superior and afdal than his status being the Nabi and the Rasul. So Allah is asking in the Holy Quran, أَزِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ. So we believe what our Imams have said, تَمَامُ الْحَجِّ لِقَاءُ الْإِمَامِ. صَدَقَ الْإِمَامُ الصَّادِقُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The perfection and completion of Hajj is meeting with the Imam. You want your Hajj to be kamil and tamam and perfect? If you go for the Holy Kaaba and you do the manasik, never consider your Hajj to be complete, because Imam al-Sadiq al-Islam already said, تَمَامُ الْحَجِّ لِقَاءُ الْإِمَامِ. Did you meet the Ibrahim a.s.? Did you even meet the Imam of your time? Ask the question to yourself. If you can't meet the Imam, at least you can meet the Naib of the Imam, the representative, isn't it right? This is the status of martabatul walaya wal imama in Islam, as we are talking about the ma'rifat of the imam. What role the hujjat of Allah plays? And my teacher was saying, if you remove the walayat out of the hajj, this is what we do, the bay'at, when you put the hand on the right stone, the black stone, al-hajar al-aswad. The hadith says, yameenullah fi ardihi. This is the right hand of Allah on earth, on his earth. Black stone on the Kaaba is the right hand of Allah on earth. You do the bay'at, you put your hand over the hand of the person. Isn't it right? So it is mustahab in our shara, in the sharia, that you put the hand over the black stone and you do the dua. Misaqi ta'ahattuhu fashhad li bil muwafat. This is my misaq and covenant that I am making to you. So be a witness that I was faithful. This Hajar al-Aswad, black stone, will speak on the Day of Judgment and will be a witness and shahid over our a'mal and behavior and mawqif and policy towards the Imam of the time. How did we behave towards the walayat of the Imam of the time? This stone will speak. This is not an ordinary stone. Yameenullah fi ardihi. There's a right hand of Allah on earth. It was brought from the paradise. So Kaaba is all about the walayat. Isn't it right? So people forget the walayat and then they go for Kaaba. And my teacher was saying, if you take out the walayat and the fara'id al-hukumiyya, the political duties of Islam related to Hajj and towards the wali of your time, remove the fara'id al-siyasiyya, then this Kaaba, tarji'u al-ka'batu ila suqi ukaz, it will convert into the marketplace of ukaz. Before Islam came, before the birth of the Holy Prophet, the mushrikeen used to hold a marketplace, a huge bazaar. And people were coming from the surrounding areas for buying and purchasing. Kaaba was a business center. It will only convert into a business marketplace and the whole ruhaniyat will be gone. لا أقسم بهذا البلد وأنت حلم بهذا البلد. Is that right? So my teacher says in the tafsir, La hurmata. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, La uqsumu bihadha al-balad. I swear towards this city, Wa anta hillum bihadha al-balad. As long as you are in this city. What a beautiful statement. Although every statement of Allah is equally beautiful. لا أقسم بهذا البلد. I swear by the city. City of Makkah is so much muhtaram that Allah is swearing upon the city of Makkah. Why? وأنت حل بهذا البلد. As long as you, that means Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are in the city. So my teacher was saying in the tafsir, لا حرمتا للبلد الأمين لولا محمد الأمين صلى الله عليه وسلم. As simple as that. There is no respect for Kaaba, which is called البلد الأمين, if there is no Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم الأمين present in the city. So the whole respect of Kaaba is not because of the stones of the walls of the Kaaba. The entire respect in Islam is because of the Wali and Imam al-Muslimin, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his presence. How do you behave towards the wali of your time? People today are not even ready to go for Yawm al-Quds, isn't it right? For the Yazids and Shimmers of today, we are not ready to do Bara'at from the Yazids and Shimmers of today. It's easy to do the La'nat on the Yazid of yesterday, but he died. He cannot harm us any further, isn't it right? He's already gone. So Islam of convenience. I call it Islam of convenience. Some of the Mumineen are following Islam of convenience, not the Islam of Ahlul Bayt. Isn't it right? So tomorrow, if Greater Israel is formed, then Medina will be occupied as well. We will be silent. We are silent over Masjid al-Aqsa. We will be silent over Medina occupation as well. And the next day, if Najaf is occupied, and Karbala, Nil ila al-Furat. Even if Karbala is occupied, we will be sakit and silent. Because we were silent over your Masjid al-Aqsa. Isn't it right? Isn't it right? So this is the status of the Muslimin towards the walayat. فَأَخَذَ النَّاسُ بِأَرْبَعٍ وَتَرَكُوا هَذِهِ. Didn't I read the Sahiha of Zurara Ibn A'yan, that Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said to him, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسٍ. Islam is founded on five. عَلَىٰ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَالْحَجِّ وَالْوَلَايَةِ. فَأَخَذَ النَّاسُ بِأَرْبَعٍ. People took the four. That means prayers, fasting. We are religious too. See, we are praying and fasting. Oh, forget about what you mentioned about being religious just because you are praying and fasting. Khawarij was saying Salatul Layl. First things first. Salat and Psalm are Furuuddin. First things first. First talk about the Imamat and Walayat. Which ruler you follow? First question, first thing first. Which ruler you follow? First things first. فَأَخَذَ النَّاسُ بِأَرْبَعٍ وَتَرَكُوا هَذِهِ وَاللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَكْمِلُ الْأَرْبَعَ حَتَّى يَسْتَكْمِلُوهَا بِالْخَامِسَةِ Imam al-Baqir said, I swear to Allah, they cannot complete the four until they complete the four through the fifth one. That means the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Please say salawat. So we find that the first benefit of ziyarat is ma'iyyat of Ahlul Bayt. We are classified to be along with them. And when we are along with them in this world, we will be along with them in Alamul Barzakh, Alamul Mithal, Alamul Malakut, Alamul Tajarrud al-Barzakhi, Alamul Tajarrud al-Barzakhi, all the different istilahat and names in different sciences of Islam for the same stage, which is called Barzakh. So, and we will be with them, with the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt, in Alamut Tajarrud, in the metaphysical world, in the Alamul Jabarut. So when you are with them in Alamul Nasut, you will be with them in Alamul Malakut, and when you are with them in Alamul Malakut, you will be with them in Alamul Jabarut as well. That's the way it goes. So that's the benefit number one of being along with the Ahlul Bayt, ma'iyyat of Ahlul Bayt. Now benefit number two is the ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt towards us. What a great benefit. What a great benefit. Shaykh Abbas Al-Qummi, Shaykh Al-Muhaddithin, Rahmatullah Alayhi, who compiled Mafatih Al-Jinan, says a great scholar and muhaddith of ours. He passed away. And his son saw him in the dream. And his son asked Shaykh Abbas al-Qummi, how are you there? What's your status? What's your kayfiyat in Alam al-Barzakh? And he replied, what are you saying? What kayfiyat would I have? I went for the ziyarat of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam 3 times in my life, and Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam came for my ziyarat in the qabr 3 times. Please say salawat. That's the benefit number 2 of going for the ziyarat of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt. If you visit them, they are Kareem ibn Kareem, ibn al-Kurama. Isn't it right? They are generous and children of generous ancestors. Isn't it right? Kareem ibn Kareem. They will always visit you. A very great benefit. You can understand if Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam comes inside the grave of the person, what would happen? The whole grave will convert into noor. Because Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam has already said, "Inna Allaha khalaqa al-jannata min noor al-Husayn." Allah created the paradise from the noor of Husayn. Please say salawat. Paradise, Jannat is created from the noor of Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. When he comes into the qabr, the whole qabr will become munawwar. So what a great benefit of ziyarat, that they will come for our visitation. I would definitely like to mention this hadith that I have written down here, so that you can have a sense of what happens. We have the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that's narrated in Bihar, where he has said, "Qala al-Hasan ibn Ali alayhi salam, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Hasan al-Mustaba said to the Holy Prophet, his grandfather, Ya Abatah, ma jaza'u man zaraka? Oh my father," Imam Hasan said to the Holy Prophet, "what's the reward of the person who performs your ziyarat, who visits you?" قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا بني من زارني حيا أو ميتا, whoever visits me while I am alive or while I am dead, that means after the death of Rasulullah, in any of the cases, whoever visits me, أو زار أباك, أو visits your father, that means Amir al-Mu'mineen عليه السلام, أو زار أخاك, or visits your brother, that means Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or zaraka, or visits you, that means Imam Hassan alayhi salam, kana haqqan alayya an azurahu yawm al-qiyamati fa-ukhallisuhu min zunubihi. It will be a haqq and right upon me.
Ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
It is a haqq and right upon me to visit him on the day of judgment, and ukhallisuhu min dhunubihi, get him rid of his sins. Look at the great benefit of ziyarat. One ziyarat of Rasulullah or Ahlul Bayt, and it is enough to remove the sins of the person. So this is the greatness of the ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And obviously they are Kareem ibn Kareem, they always do that. And so we find that haqiqat, I'm coming to the end of my speech. I have so much written here to talk about, but seems that tonight we cannot discuss all these points. So we find that, what is the haqiqat of ziyarat? Before I come to the end of the speech, haqiqat of the ziyarat of Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is nothing but ziyarat of Allah Himself. That's the haqiqat and reality. Because Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are madahir and majali of the tajalli and the nur and the reflections. They reflect the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His fullest and all the attributes and names of Allah. So you are actually, in the real, real sense, actually you are going for the ziyarat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the haqiqat and reality of ziyarat. That's why we have all this benefit. You actually, and we have authentic hadith where Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam has said about the ziyarat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, that means the person who visits, in other words, a person who visits Imam Husayn alayhi salam is like the person who zarallaha fi arshihi. He has visited Allah on his arsh and throne. Please say salawat. So if you visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you have actually visited Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatness of the ziyarat. And this ziyarat is not going to happen until we have the love towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The love towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt is going to take us towards the ziyarat. And as much as you love them, well, they also love you. Isn't it right? Their love is ahead
and after. Just like the concept of zikr in Islam. When we say we remember Allah, zikr means remembrance. Yad-e ilahi, remembering Allah. So when about the zikr we say, that kullu zakirin mazkurun marratan. Every zakir, everyone who remembers Allah, is mazkur, is remembered by Allah two times. Once Allah remembers him before he performs the zikr and remembrance of Allah. And second, Allah remembers him after he performs the zikr and remembrance of Allah. Because Allah is Rahim, Arhamur Rahimeen. Isn't that right? A person performs the zikr and remembrance of Allah precisely because Allah remembered him ahead of him. And because Allah remembered him and Allah provided him the tawfiq and opportunity, that's why he is doing this goodness. Because of the tawfiq and opportunity of Allah. So Allah remembered him, Allah was zakir. Allah remembered this person, that's why he remembered Allah. And after he remembers Allah, Allah al-wahal jaza'ul ihsan illa al-ihsan. Allah always rewards the person. He doesn't let go any of the goodness without getting rewarded. So Allah remembers the person after the zikr as well. So every zakir, our urafa say, is mazkurun marratan, is remembered by Allah two times. This is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? So when we love, muhabbat also is tarafaini, is something which is from a dual-sided entity. If you love somebody and that somebody doesn't love you, in Arabic we don't call it muhabbat. You may call it whatever. But in Arabic, in the istilahat of Irfan, we don't call it as hub and muhabbat. Because muhabbat has to be from the tarafain, from both sides to be called muhabbat. So if you love the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, as much as you love, they also love you. It has to be from tarafain. So it's muhabbat that takes us towards them. And obviously the muhabbat that they have depends how much we have the ita'at towards the Ahlul Bayt and ittiba' and following. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Isn't it right? Say, if you people love, if you love me, Allah is saying to His Prophet, so that He can say to the people, that if you love me, then follow. If you love Allah, then follow me. Let me follow the Prophet. يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ. Allah will end up loving you. So our obedience towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt will earn the love of Allah for us. So we should need to maintain the hub of Ahlul Bayt in our qalb. Although it may be less, but we should try our best to maintain, even though we may be doing sins, la samahallah. Isn't it right? We should maintain the biggest asset of our life, which is the hub of Ahlul Bayt. لِكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَسَاسٍ وَأَسَاسُ الْإِسْلَامِ حُبُّنَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Everything has a foundation, and the foundation of Islam is love of us, Ahlul Bayt. So we need to maintain the love. And if we have this love maintained, there is still a room for our success. Hur al-Riyahi is working for the Tahut ibn Ziyad, la'anatullahi alayh. His job is haram, one of the biggest harams in Islam. One of the biggest harams in Islam is to work for Tahut. لَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاهُوتِ. That's the common agenda of every messenger, without exception. You need to do ijtinab from Tahut. Isn't it right? But he didn't do ijtinab from Tahut. Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi is doing the biggest haram of Islam, supporting the Tahut, a'da of Ahlul Bayt. This is the biggest haram of Islam. This is shirk. But he has some level of love of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam still remaining in his qalb. So he blocks the way of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Isn't it right? Blocks the way. And now his soldiers and himself were very thirsty. Look at the karamat and sahawat and jood and generosity of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt. So Imam Hussein, when he finds that Hur is thirsty and his soldiers, so all of them belong to the Tahut. They're working for Ibn Ziyad, isn't it right? But look at the sakhawat of Imam al-Husayn. You know, he provides water. He asks his people to give water to them. And all the water was given. Even to the horses.
And obviously they're standing in saf and sufuf in ranks. One by one they are given water.
A person who's standing at the end of the sufuf, of the ranks, he narrates in the history, I was standing in the army of Hur at the end. And I thought by the time my turn comes, I would die of the thirst. I was so thirsty. And then all of a sudden, I saw that Hussein ibn Ali looked towards me. And after that, what happened? I saw Hussein ibn Ali is himself bringing the water in his hand towards me. Look at the generosity and jood of Imam. As-sakha'u makana ibtida'an, the hadith says. Amma ma kana an mas'alatin fa haya'un wa tazammum. Sakhawat is actually in Islamic morality what you do it initially. You initiate it without the person begging you. Here a person begs you and you give him a dollar. You're not a sakhi person. You are protecting yourself from embarrassment. Wa amma ma kana an mas'alatin fa haya'un wa tazammum. You are avoiding getting embarrassed. If you were really generous, you would have gone yourself to help the person yourself. This is called sakhawat in the value system of Islam. So Imam Hussein is taking the water in his hand towards the person. This is called sakhawat in Islam. Look at the karamat of Hussein ibn Ali. Shahamat al-Hussein. These are our values. And finally the time of the Dhuhr prayers arrives. And Hur, when it was asked from Hur to lead the prayers, obviously he has his own people with him. He said, how would that happen that Hussein ibn Ali, you're a son of Rasulullah, is present and I lead the prayers in the presence of Hussein? It's not going to happen. So Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi is saying his prayers behind in the imamat of Hussein ibn Ali. This is the tab, that's the status of the Kufiyin in the time of Musa ibn Aqil, salamullah alayhi. So they're ready to pray, but they're working for Tawud. They're ready to pray behind Ahlul Bayt, behind Imam al-Hussein, behind Musa ibn Aqil. When it comes to supporting, they're supporting Tawud. Just like Farazdaq has said to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, that قُلُوبُهُمْ مَعَقْ وَسُيُوفُهُمْ مَعَ بَنِي أُمَيَّةِ. This is the tab' of the Kufiyin. They're ready to pray in the Jama'at behind the Imam. Isn't it right? When it comes to supporting, they're supporting Tawud.
قُلُوبُهُمْ مَعَقْ وَسُيُوفُهُمْ مَعَ بَنِي أُمَيَّةِ. So this is the tab of Kufiyin. He is also from Kufa. Hur is also from the same place. So he is praying behind the Imam, but supporting Tahut. So then when Imam Hussein, after the Jamaat, he is about to leave, he grabs the rein of the horse of the Imam. And that's where Imam Hussein alayhi salam said to him, Sakalatka ummuka ya Hur. Sakalatka ummuka ya Hur. And may your mother sit in the sorrow and the sadness of your death, O Hur. In other words, yeah. So basically, what Imam Hussein is trying to say is what you did is such a big insult towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam that you deserve to die and your mother deserve to sit in your sorrow. Such an insult of the Masoom that you did. And he replies back, if your mother was not Fatima al-Zahra, I would have said the same thing for your mother, but I can't say it for your mom. So there was a little love of Ahlul Bayt still surviving in his heart. This is how our scholars say Imam al-Hussein has shook the damir and the conscience of Hur. Remember, you are now opposing the son of Fatima al-Zahra. This is how Imam Hussein is shaking the conscience of Hur, working for Tawud. So now, finally, he brought Imam al-Hussein al-Salam to Karbala forcibly, isn't it right? Diverted according to the hukum of Ibn Ziyad, la'anatullah alayh. Imam Hussein comes to Karbala, and now the night before Ashura comes. And Hur is walking in his khaymah, in his tent. He didn't go to sleep. He's very anxious, walking from here to there. His ghulam, his servant comes and sees that my master is so much anxious. What happened to him? He brings some water for Hur. He throws the water away and did not drink.
The ghulam, the servant, was got shocked. What happened? And he couldn't talk. He went and informed the son of Hur. The son of Hur comes and asks his dad, what's the matter? And Hur grabs the hand of his son and takes him near to the khayam of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, towards the khaymas of Husayn ibn Ali alayhim as-salam, where the children are raising the voice, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. They are so thirsty. The children of Ahlul Bayt are thirsty. And they are raising their voice about their thirst. So Hur takes the hand of his son close to the, in the night of before Ashura, to takes him closer to listen to the voice of Al-Atash coming from the khiyam and the tents of Ahlul Bayt. You see, you hear these voices of Al-Atash, I am the person who is responsible for their thirst, for the thirst of Husayn ibn Ali. So son says, what have you decided? He said, I have decided that tomorrow, after the sunrise, in other words, I will depart the camp of Ibn Ziyad, Umar ibn Sa'ad, and I will go towards Husayn ibn Ali. His son says, if you have already decided that, then you also take me towards them. On the morning, we find Hur departs the camp. He was obviously finding himself between Jannat and Naar, which means the heaven and the hell. Imam Husayn belongs to Jannat, and this camp of Umar ibn Sa'd belongs to the hell. Now he realized he is the son of Fatima. What did I do wrong towards, how wrong I did towards him? So he, tomorrow morning, he asked his son to tie up his hands. So his son tied, this is the how he wanted to become humble and mutawadi in front of Husayn ibn Ali. So ask his son to tie up my hand and take me as a person who has his hand tied up in front of Husayn ibn Ali. His son did the same. They went, they came close to the khiyam, the tents of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and the ashab of Imam Husayn are doing istiqbal, they are welcoming. They are welcoming this person coming towards him. So this is how Imam al-Husayn is. Imam Husayn welcomes, accepts. They are kareem ibn kareem. Anyone who does the tawbah, they are ready to accept. This is their karamatun nafs and azamat. So Hur makes him fall over the feet of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Imam Husayn wants to raise him from the feet and he's not raising his head. He is asking Imam Husayn to forgive him first. And he says, the riwayat says, قَدْ كَانَ مِنِّ الَّذِي كَانَ. Whatever happened from whatever wrong did I do towards you, I did. وَقَدْ جِئْتُكَ وَجِئْتُكَ مُوَاسِيًا بِنَفْسِي. فَهَلْ تَرَى ذَلِكَ تَوْبَةً لِمَا كَانَ مِنِّي. I came to give away, to sacrifice my life for you. Mawla, whatever wrong I did towards you, in other words, I came to sacrifice my everything for you. If I sacrifice my life, فَهَلْ تَرَى ذَلِكَ تَوْبَةً لِمَا كَانَ مِنِّي. Do you consider if I sacrifice my life, that will suffice for my tawbah? And look at the generosity and azamat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. He says, inzil. That means become our guest. Imam Husayn does not even mention the crime of Hur. Instead, he's accepting Hur as his guest. Look at the sakha of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And we find that on the day of Ashura now, Hur is asking for the izn, the permission from Imam al-Husayn to go for the jihad against the enemies of Ahlul Bayt. And Imam Husayn, how can Imam al-Husayn allow a guest to go on so much, so early? Obviously, it's very hard for a kareem person to let his guest go away like this. And obviously, Hur comes in a time where Husayn ibn Ali doesn't have any food to offer, doesn't have any water to offer, cannot do that ziyafat towards Imam Husayn, what he could have done. But he doesn't have any food and water. But Imam Husayn is so kareem. It is the karamat and jood of Imam al-Husayn. He didn't let Hur go. And then he asked for Imam Husayn to first at least allow his son to go. Imam Husayn allowed. And his son went away for the jihad. And then after doing his battle, when his son fell down on the maqtal, on the soil of Karbala, then he calls his father for help. Imam Husayn, when he knows that Hur's son is
calling his father to go for help. Imam Hussein didn't let his father Hur to go next to the son. Obviously, it is very difficult for the father to see the son dying in those moments. Imam Hussein instead, he himself goes. Look at the karamat of Imam Hussein. He himself goes towards next to the body of the son of Hur. Look at the ziyafat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And finally, when Hur takes the permission and he goes himself for the fight, then he falls down over the ground. He was unconscious at that time. Imam Hussein is the one who reaches towards next to the Hur. And Imam Hussein, when he puts his head, the head of the Hur, into the lap of Imam Hussein. And finally, Hur opens his eyes. He opens his eyes and looks at the face of Imam Hussein. It's Imam Hussein who is coming next to him. And now we find there was a blood coming out from the forehead of Hur. He was injured. And look at the karamat and sakha of Imam al-Hussein. He brings out the handkerchief of his mother Fatima al-Zahra. And he ties up over the head of Hur. Look at the ziyafat of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. How much kareem he is. So we find, obviously, we congratulate you, O Hur, that you received the gift of the handkerchief of Hazrat Zahra from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This is the greatest gift you can get. We find, Imam Hussein says, Anta Hur kama sammatka ummuka, Anta Hur fi dunya wal akhirah. You are Hur, a free person, like your mother named you. You are Hur in dunya and akhirah. ألا لعنة الله القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين تسيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين
جالس رحم الله.